is the Two Marketeers podcast, where hosts and marketing experts Sean Patrick and Lindsay Waugh seek to uncover what makes brands so powerful in how they impact modern society and culture. Two Marketeers. They've got a podcast.
The Two Marketeers podcast. Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. This is a special occasion, marketeers.
Why?
This is the first thing. This is Monday morning. This is like nothing in our way. Well, everything's in our way because we're thinking about
literally everything is in our way. Everything.
It's really about how you look at it, really.
Let's just settle in. It's Monday morning, and there's no better way to start it than this.
Okay. Right? I agree. If you have to tell yourself that, that's fine too.
I'm going to tell myself whatever I need to tell myself.
Welcome to Monday.
Welcome to Monday. What's going on in your world, Sean?
I don't know. I forget everything. I'm at an age where I'm like, how was your weekend? I'm like, I think it was good. You know, it's spring.
Perfect.
It's nice to get outside.
I think we focus too much on remembering. I never remember anything. And I've been ridiculed about it for my entire life that I never can remember things. And I'm like, maybe it's not a bad thing. I think I'm just, what are we doing now? What are we doing next? I'm just like forward thinking, and it just clears from my brain to enable me to do that.
Yeah. I think in your job and my job too, the best thing you can do is reset on every project.
Yeah. And I don't have to go back. I don't have to be thinking about the past all the time.
Nope.
What are we doing right now? In the moment.
Right now, we're doing a podcast.
Well, thank you. Welcome to the Two Marketeers.
And you.
So what are we doing here?
We're going to just pick up a little bit where we left off on our last episode when I had my little rant about 5% of us will survive being replaced by AI, but that's not what we're here to talk about. And I found this awesome article by Mark Ritson from 2015, and I quoted it a little bit, and it was all about the brief. And this is what we're doing. We're having a whole episode about the brief.
A brief conversation about the brief.
Yeah. Well, let's keep it brief.
Right? Okay. We'll keep it brief. That's a goal.
Just to quickly quote from that article, which is by Mark Ritson on The Drum, where basically the title is, "The idea that marketers need to be creative is a load of baloney. We're useless at it." So basically the tone of it is, he says, many view themselves as being directly responsible for the creative act. Great briefs synthesize the situation, bring to life the target segment, and summarize the strategic direction required before stepping back and letting proper creative minds loose on the execution bit. A great brief is like a strategic diving board. Strong, solid, and weeks in the making. It is ready to be used by creatives to leap from it and perform glamorous feats of creation that will wow everyone. The diving board is integral to the dive, but its builders don't try for 1 second to jump from it. They know their place. So, great, right? Yeehaw. But we have to look at it realistically and kind of say, okay, let's first talk about the brief. Mark Ritson's talking about the brief, he says, back in the day, right? And this article is from 2015. Mm-hmm. So he's talking pre-digital from an agency perspective, before anyone really knew any strategy around digital. And the business, the strategy is the responsibility of the brand, of the marketer. But what if that marketer knows they're not strategic when it comes to something they are not familiar with, like social media, like digital, like everything? But I think my first question is, what even happened to the brief? Because I don't remember the last time I worked on a project where I wasn't the one who created the brief.
I think what's happened is it's harder than ever to create the brief. Like things feel so chaotic and vast now. Like those points that you mentioned from the article, like illuminating who this target is. Like it's never been more confusing to try and nail down a target audience.
Is
like only one thing from the entire brief that the marketer is responsible for doing now, let alone pricing strategy, like experience, promotional strategy, channels, which channels should they be in and focus in and why, and measurement, like let alone measurement goals.
Okay,
such
I'm a little stressed out.
Complicated landscape. It's no wonder marketers are struggling with the brief.
Based on what you just said, and you said it last week, is I don't think that role, I don't think that person exists. And I think you're right. Let's look back at, you know, what the brief was intended to do. And I don't know if there's a belief, you know, it depends on the situation. But sometimes, or at least with me, because I was in digital, early in digital, we realized that we had to take whatever brief we got. Sometimes we got really good briefs for really big brands, right? They had done as they had taken it as far as they could, and then they came to us to really say, so what's the strategy when it comes to digital? And it was an interesting time because most of us weren't even at a we didn't even know what digital, not only what it could do for business, but what it was responsible for doing, right? Like so I feel like that's sort of like when briefing effectively went out the window to that degree, this sort of traditional agency. And you know, Mark Ritson says it, it needs time. It needs the time to do all that work, to synthesize.
Yeah.
Well, it's an imperfect world. We don't have time.
Right.
So what do we, you know, what do we do with that? And I think Lindsay and I can only speak for ourselves from what we see and what we do, but I hear so many people, especially more senior people who've been around, some of them even longer than me, where they're like, the brief. What happened to the brief?
Yeah.
And because if no one can respect what it was supposed to do, which is really to inform the right kind of minds so they understand the problem that needs to be creatively fixed.
Yeah.
Then if someone says, well, then who's responsible for the brief? And that's where I say, the answer is that depends.
Yeah, because I think like for me, the role of the brief, I think a lot of people think the role of the brief is to just inform, like what's going on in the situation and the business and with the people and, you know, what are we seeing?
Right.
But I think more than ever, the job of the brief is to focus. So there's got to be like that 1-2 punch of inform and focus. And focus is typically largely around strategy. Like we have all of this information coming at us. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do with it? And like we've talked about in many episodes, that involves making decisions and some things have to go. Like you can't do everything. You have to say, based on what we're seeing and what the business needs to achieve, here's how we're going to choose to do this and not this, choose to be here and not here, choose to talk to this person and not to this person in order to achieve our goals. And that is strategy. But like I said earlier, there's so many decisions that need to be made that I think the issue that we're experiencing now is a lack of focus.
Yeah, I agree. And do you think maybe that really the art of creativity is about solving a problem in a way it has not been solved before? Right. So it's not like every idea is a brand new idea. It's about looking at every situation. And that's why what we get better at as we practice it more and more is, like you said, Lindsay, to pinpoint the problem. And I think that's the biggest thing that's being ignored in marketing, in a lot of it's everywhere. And that is focusing on the problem before worrying about the solution.
Yeah, because in a cluttered space, there's so many problems. And it's hard to say, like, this is the one thing. If we change this one thing, it's going to change our business. In like a complicated landscape with so many channels and targets and all this and this, there's tons of problems. And so it's about choosing which problem, if we solve that, is going to make the biggest business impact. And then strategy is around how we solve that problem. And then I think the other thing that's interesting about the brief now is I would also argue that the brief's role is to inspire people. And so in a world where it's like a metaverse and social, there's like tons of cool shit going on all the time. I feel like a lot of times we're trying to inspire around cool stuff and just be like, this is the cool, most innovative stuff we could be doing in 2024, when really inspiration needs to be brought in, like from a creative perspective, to inspire around how to solve that specific problem, not just the cool stuff that's going on in the world.
Yeah, I think if the marketer wants the best work possible, the marketer or someone they hire, because this could be, you know, a small company, but the accountability to the of the marketer to the creative team, and I think Mark Ritson says it beautifully, and you just said it, is to inspire them to do their best work and do it right, therefore giving them the information so they're solving the right problem in the best possible way.
That's right.
In your experience, Lindsay, what do you do in absence of a brief?
Create one? Like, I don't think you should operate in absence of a brief. There are many times when, you know, clients hop on and they're like, this is a bad brief, but here we go. It's like, nope.
Yeah.
Like, that should, like, you.
As Lindsay like would say, I'm going to let myself out.
Well, like, the brief is not dead to me. The brief is more valuable than ever. I think a lot of people are struggling to create great briefs, but that doesn't mean it shouldn't be a priority. I think there are people out there who are able to help you with that focus. And if the focus can't be provided by the business, then it needs to be brought in from somewhere else so that you can give creative what they need to excel.
Absolutely. That was the right answer, by the way. You do it yourself, right?
Okay. Woo! You used to be a professor. I passed.
But it's true. You do it yourself. And I think...
Yeah, then you do it. Yeah.
When we kind of go back and kind of look at what we've talked about is, I think there's a level of empathy that has been lacking between the marketer and the creative. And I mean, it goes both ways. Right? So if you get briefed poorly, then help them, because we already talked about how impossible their job is. And I think it's, you know, a language or nomenclature thing is, what is a marketer? And the responsibility is, we've talked about how marketing shouldn't be a department anymore, or the future is marketing is sort of central to a company, as is brand, those kind of things. So you kind of look at, say, okay, if the evolution is that, I think we need to stop trying to draw a line or drive a wedge between the role of the marketer and the role of creatives, and to say the brief. You and I both practice the fact that in absence of one, or a good one, you define it. Use your powers. In our case, it's strategy. And I totally go for it. I go two modes together, which is strategy mode and business owner mode. I take responsibility, and too many times as a professional problem solver, designer, or all the things I think is what defines a creative, too many times we put all this energy into solving the problem only to realize that it doesn't solve what everyone thought it would solve. It was the wrong problem.
Right.
And, you know, they say that especially earlier on in digital, was, you know, the smarter companies realized that digital was in a test phase, to say it's not just about succeeding, but it's also about understanding where you didn't succeed and moving that forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my practice unless it's like a very specific hands-on ask, is typically me having, I insist on a conversation. Right? I insist on a conversation, even if it's a repeat client. I'm like, can we just talk about it? I just want to understand. I have a few questions. I just want to understand the context better. That's how I kind of put it. That conversation has to happen because what I'm able to do during that conversation, first of all, I prepare for it. I know the questions I want to ask, but I also get a sense, right? This is my empathy, sort of human, my human capability might be a gift. Of empathy to say there's what they're saying and what I think they believe or what I'm getting from what they're saying.
Mm. I think the conversation, so when you said there shouldn't be a line, like we talked about this, I think last season, the C word, collaboration, I think it needs to be like the process between client and creative and clients and agencies and clients and strategy and agency and all of that like needs to be redefined as in like, it's not a relay, like you're not passing a baton only to then pick it up again later and continue to run with it. I think it's got to be more of a collaborative kind of fluid process where the client informs the business, strategy helps to provide the focus, creative works on that end of it and brings that forward. But it can't just be like we're passing it one to another. It's got to be more of a flow between those three responsibilities to ensure that we're answering the right problems, to ensure that we have enough focus, to ensure that the creative's laddering up to the strategy, and not only that, but delivering to the business. And so that doesn't happen by drawing a line in the sand. It happens by a more collaborative process.
True. What I'm going to ask then is, how do people get good at evaluating good creative? Right? Like that's something you have to learn.
Yeah. I think that like defining the criteria around what good creative means depends on the situation and the problem that you're trying to solve. And part of strategy is helping to determine like what are those guardrails that are in place to ensure that that's not even what the problem is. It's like once we start to see creative, what are the things it needs to do to deliver to the business? And those things that creative needs to do to answer that business problem will change depending on what the problem is.
Right. And when the people who've created that document and kind of given those guardrails, they're now, it's not about taste. It's not about saying the right thing or picking something. It's about being the person or the group or the individual or the agency that says, okay, great. Let's go back and let's see if it's doing what we know we have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like that's what's gotten lost in the acceleration of everything.
Well, and like nobody wants to be a cool shit killer. So it's like sometimes in creative, you're just like, that's so cool. Like, that's so cool. We need to do that. That would be amazing. And then typically it's often strategy to be like, excuse me. Cool stuff too, but this needs to deliver to the business. So maybe that's not the right idea to solve the business problem. I think even more now, people get so distracted by the tools and trinkets and the things and the AI and the metaverse and Bitcoin and whatever it is, you know, like we need to do something cool to stand out. It's like, well, if that cool thing to stand out doesn't deliver to the business, then it's not the right idea. Like you said, it's not just taste and style and gravitating to what like the most breathtaking, brilliant like piece of creative could be. It's like, if it doesn't deliver to the business, it's not the right idea.
And being that person is a tough thing to be, is what you're saying.
I think at the end of the day, although it may be tough in the moment, you are such like appreciated as such a valued partner by the end of the process and a collaborator between creative and the business and clients because you're helping everyone to be successful. So yeah, sometimes it sucks, but at the end, it's amazing because you're a valued partner.
Yeah, there's multiple uses of all of these words. Strategy, brief, there's the creative brief, there's the business brief, there's the client brief, there's the project brief. There's all these different things. All that matters is that someone, hopefully you, the collective you, see an opportunity to gain better perspective, gather more information in order to make a wise decision, because that is the job of at least a senior creative. You have to make wise decisions. And I can't remember the, I mean, it used to happen a lot, pitching big idea to a client and just getting it torn apart, right? And I think, and you know, I could be angry at the client, or I could be angry at the person who said, well, the brief shit in the first place, whatever. No, it's about taking that accountability. So in absence of a brief, because they are often absent, look at it as an opportunity to lead, to take control in a good way of the overall success of everyone.
Yeah, it can be scary.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, it's the rhetoric we allow, right? Like, okay, so this is a crap brief. Well, in your head to say, well, wait a minute, because my performance, and I will be the one accountable for a shit idea from a shit brief. And what's interesting is we assume that this is about client approving and being impressed. No, this is about it going in, spending all that time and the client's money executing it, and it doesn't perform. That is how AI will replace jobs.
Clarify.
If we as humans don't start to take the initiative of doing a better job than just taking the information and spitting back what was asked, those are the positions, those are the type of human positions that will be replaced.
Yeah, I agree. Make yourself more valuable than a dump of information. It's not, it shouldn't be that difficult.
There's so many things, it's scary, but there's so many things that are important to consider, you know, thinking ahead is, you know, when you do provide that guidance and you do it carefully and you do it respectfully and you take the time to think about the best way to communicate it, you're so highly regarded. You're so highly appreciated for your thinking, for your maturity, for your experience, the intangible things.
A lot of that, as you get more experienced over time, becomes like a gut instinct where you're like, something doesn't feel right here.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be the one in the room who's like challenging that. But I think we need to learn to trust that human instinct and go back and say, like, why isn't that feeling right? Why isn't it working? And be the voice in the room who brings it forward, because a lot of people are in vulnerable positions and they're afraid to do that because of so many reasons.
Yes.
But I think it's our responsibility to do it.
Agreed. And I think that's the sort of business owner kind of mindset of whether you're a business owner or not, you're taking accountability for the business aspect of what it is you deliver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
And
sometimes clients are like, you care about this way more than I do, actually. And I'm like, well, it has to work, or it's not going to be good for me. It's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for anyone involved in this situation if it doesn't work. And so, yeah, I do often care about it more than a lot of clients do.
Because you take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
It's that sort of positive mindset of when you see it as an opportunity, it motivates you to do better work.
Right.
Because you're going to be stuck with that work and you're going to stand behind that work and hope it gets some kind of attention so you can say in the next project, I did that.
Yeah. Well,
I helped do that. Let me rephrase. Yeah, it's everything you're saying is so insightful. I think, though, we have both put ourselves in positions where we can truly recognize the importance of it. Mm-hmm. And to say, this isn't shaming those who don't, because perhaps you feel that you might create waves, right? Where you shouldn't create waves. You might compromise the business that's been sold when you ask a very simple question. I made that mistake many times until I realized it wasn't a mistake.
Yeah.
Which is why I work in my basement. But I think it all comes down to...
No, but I think it's really good advice that you're saying in that, like, it's your job, it's our responsibility, it's, you know, you have to be the person who questions it and just try to do that. Try to be that person and take control in the situations where it feels like there isn't a lot of control or a lot of focus happening and be the one to do it. I think you'll only be more valuable because of it.
So let's go do a brief.
Go do better briefs. Better briefs.
Better briefs. Thanks, it sounds, Sean, like an underwear commercial. Sounds like an
underwear. I know. Launching timeline tomorrow. Better briefs.
Anyways, Lindsay, thanks. Thanks so much.
Great. My pleasure. Great chat, Sean. Thank you. I appreciate it. Awesome insights.
Okay. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye, marketeers.
Thanks for listening to the Two Marketeers podcast. New episodes launch every 2 weeks.
Find the Two Marketeers podcast on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you like to listen. And be sure to rate and subscribe.
Listen on our website, thetwomarketeers.ca, or you can ask Alexa to play the Two Marketeers podcast.
Want to keep in touch? Follow the Two Marketeers on LinkedIn or at Two Marketeers on TikTok. We've always got something to share.
This podcast is over.